Question number two. What does the expression "without fear of molestation" mean? Well, that's an interesting question. You know, sometimes while men are leading prayer, they will say something to the effect of, "Lord, we ask you to help us to worship without fear of molestation," you know. And the idea in that expression means that we would not be bothered in our worship services. And I believe that that expression originated out of a concern that the government might come in and prohibit people from worshiping. You know, in other countries, that's not uncommon. In fact, it happens quite a bit. China, and it used to happen in Soviet Russia a lot. It happens in the Muslim countries sometimes that they prohibit certain kinds of worship there. And we have the freedom to worship God in our country, and we would always like for that to be the case, you know, that we could continue to worship God without any kind of concern of someone coming in and then preventing us from doing that. And so having a peaceful worship experience is important to us. And that's why we say that prayer. Well, this is a good thought. It recognizes that peace is not a luxury that we should take for granted, but rather a blessing that God provides. And we pray that God would continue to bless us with peace when we worship. More recently, as we mentioned in our previous question, there has been some violence perpetrated against churches. And I think that that prayer is appropriate in that regard as well. That is, that we want to be free from someone coming in the back doors and creating a very bad situation for us. Because that would certainly count as being, you know, molested, in the sense of being our worship being interrupted in that way. Well, the Bible teaches us that we are certainly to pray for peace and that we are to work for peace with all people. And so this prayer that we could be able to worship without fear of molestation is a good thought. It's a scriptural thought. We think about what the Bible has to say for peace. The expression "grace and peace to you" is a very common expression in the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 through 2 specifically tells us to pray for peace. "Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority." Why? Listen to this. "That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." And so we want our life, a life of godliness and reverence, right, to be peaceable. We want it to be quiet. We want it to be peaceable. And so that's a prayer that we ought to be praying. Romans chapter 12 and verse 8 says, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." And Hebrews 12 verse 14 says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." We want to live in peace. That's the ultimate desire. Another aspect of this prayer that doesn't focus on the molestation part focuses on the fear part, you know, "without fear of molestation." And this part of the prayer is a prayer to help us to overcome our fears. Because a lot of times, fear is what can drive us toward some difficult circumstances. Certainly, as we've already mentioned, there are things that we may fear when it comes to government intervention or people behaving very poorly. And we want to have a worship experience where we don't have to be afraid of that kind of thing. Well, fear is a very personal feeling. You know, fear happens within me. And that's something that I have an amount of control over. And the Bible teaches us to have faith in God, and that putting our faith in God is the best tool that we can use to overcome our fear. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 25, we read this: "Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes." God doesn't want our actions being controlled by the fear of the wicked. He wants us to act in a way that is going to be responsible and obedient to His will. Sometimes wicked men make it so that that is difficult. But nevertheless, we still have the obligation not to fear, but to do God's will. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, "Do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." We should also recognize that our love for God is supreme. And in that love being supreme, it will drive out the fear that we might experience in our life. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, John writes, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." Paul writes to Timothy these words: "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. Sometimes we're weak and sometimes we experience fear. Praying this kind of prayer will help us to focus on our great God who can save us from all of these things. When we put our faith and trust in Him, He will provide for us. And that's exactly what we need to do at all hours of the day. Put our faith and trust in God. Maybe there's someone who needs to do that tonight, and you need to become a child of God. By putting your faith and trust in God, that will lead you to hear His word and believe it. Repent of your sins, confess Him as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Putting your faith and trust in God will then create a life of faithfulness in which you can live for Him each and every day. Perhaps there's someone here tonight who needs the help of the church in that regard. And if you would like that help this evening, then we invite you to come now and make that known while together we stand and while we sing this song of invitation.